Radio Prague News.
Former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem says he does not intend to resign as a member of parliament over the current lobbying scandal in which he is involved. The Board of Civic Democrats at Prague City Hall has recommended Mr. Bem suspend his membership in the party. And Police President Petr Lessi has called the police response in arresting Roman Janoušek highly irregular. Former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem says he does not intend to resign as a member of parliament over the current lobbying scandal in which he is involved. In a statement made for the daily Hospodářské noviny, Mr. Bem said that he would take personal responsibility and resign if necessary, if and when it was proven that he had broken the law. He also said that the taped conversations of himself and lobbyist Roman Janoušek, which suggest the latter had significant influence over city governance, were made illegally and constituted what he called an unbelievable infringement on his privacy. Police are investigating the recordings, which are being published by the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. Mladá Fronta claims they were made by the Czech intelligence agency BIS in 2007 and acquired by the detective agency ABL some 2 years later. That possible leak is the subject of a separate investigation. The Board of Civic Democrats at Prague City Hall has recommended that former Mayor Bem suspend his membership in the party. Speaking after a meeting of the board, current Prague mayor and chairman of the party's Prague branch, Bohuslav Svoboda, announced the position to reporters and said he wanted to speak with party chairman and Prime Minister Petr Nečas about the affair. Mr. Bem did not attend the meeting as he is currently in Tbilisi, Georgia. The case will also be discussed at a national meeting of the Civic Democratic Party. Police President Petr Lessi has called the police response in arresting Roman Janoušek highly irregular and said mistakes were made. Based on a preliminary internal investigation, he said he could not exclude the possibility that the officers involved may have been influenced in some way and said the matter would be turned over to the appropriate inspectorate. Mr. Janoušek, a wealthy lobbyist, is believed to have intentionally run down a woman in his car while intoxicated, not long after damaging evidence of his connections to Prague City Hall emerged. Despite running away from the scene of the crime, he was not handcuffed and was allowed to make telephone calls. He also avoided being taken to a drunk tank in spite of a high blood alcohol level and was reportedly allowed to leave the police station a few hours later through a back door to avoid the media. The victim of the attack is in serious but stable condition in hospital. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be clear and sunny, with daytime highs reaching 10 to 14 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program: controversial lobbyist Roman Janoušek is charged with menacing behavior due to intoxication, as well as grievous bodily harm. We'll have the details of the case, as well as the wiretap scandal he's also embroiled in. That'll be followed by the latest in sports news, and a little later in the program, stay tuned for our interview show, One-on-One, this week with guest Sophia Smith, a Prague-based freelance chef. That's all ahead. Prague police have charged the controversial lobbyist Roman Janoušek with menacing behavior due to intoxication as well as grievous bodily harm. On Friday, Mr. Janoušek crashed his Porsche into another car in Prague 4, then hit its driver as he attempted to flee. The news made headlines even as the construction tycoon found himself in the midst of a leaked wiretap scandal involving former mayor of Prague, Pavel Bem. Sarah Borůvka has more.
Over the weekend, headlines in the Czech media were dominated by one of the most controversial figures in Prague, powerful businessman and lobbyist Roman Janoušek. The 43-year-old was arrested late Friday morning after crashing into a car and injuring its 51-year-old driver, who reports suggest was trying to stop him from hitting other vehicles. According to eyewitnesses, the lobbyist proceeded to at first drive, then run away away from the site of the accident. The woman is currently being treated at hospital. There is no doubt that Mr. Janoszek was intoxicated during the incident. A subsequent blood test found he had a high level of blood alcohol. But in a breach of standard procedure, he was interrogated by police without first being put in a drunk tank, then let go after several hours. Many have slammed the police for their conduct and have labeled these procedures highly unusual. Among them is political analyst Yizhi Behe.
We have seen, unfortunately, that police really treat some people in different way than some other people. The same standards are not applied to everyone. And this is potentially devastating for the notion of democracy in this country, which has already been shaken by many scandals.
Mr. Janoszek's arrest came fresh on the heels of a highly publicized scandal that unfolded last week following the publication of leaked wiretaps by the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. In the recordings, the construction tycoon addresses former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem with the nickname Kolibřík, hummingbird in English, while discussing the city's zoning plans and the sale of city property. The conversations and the numerous apparent uses of code words shed fresh light on the inner workings of Prague City Hall, already perceived by many as a hotbed of corruption and cronyism. Analyst Pehe believes that Mr. Janoszek's influence may be even more far-reaching than the most recent phone leaks indicate.
The relations of Mr. Janoszek and some other shadowy figures who profit from connections with politicians, those relations are much more extensive and with many more people than just with Mr. Bem. So the efforts to limit the damage, so to speak, by the Civic Democratic Party when it claims that this was Mr. Bem's private affair are, doomed in advance, simply because Mr. Janoszek was on good terms with many people, not only from the Civic Democratic Party, with many politicians, not only from Prague. And I am really afraid that he also exercised a lot of influence over the state attorney office in Prague and police. And this is also one of the explanations why he was treated the way he was when he was arrested after the hit-and-run accident.
The Prague chapter of the Civic Democrats, of which Mr. Bem is a member, has been holding a special meeting to discuss the matter on Monday. Its leader, current Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, has said that while he does not wish to expel him from the party, Mr. Bem should consider voluntarily giving up his membership. Meanwhile, Mr. Janoszek could face a prison sentence of up to 10 years if convicted of the most serious charges related to Friday's drunk driving incident.
Sarah Borufka reporting there on the controversy surrounding lobbyist and tycoon Roman Janoszek, embroiled in a scandal, as it were, over wiretaps revealed last week, and after having crashed his car and seriously hurt another person, he has been charged by police. Now, obviously, those stories have made a lot of headlines in the Czech Republic. If you'd like to comment, please do so by writing to us at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. And now for the latest in sports. And we begin first with hockey. The weekend saw plenty of action with the Tipsport Extraliga semifinals getting underway, at least between Liberec and Pardubice. The opener was won by Liberec, the first team to have qualified for the semis, by a score of 5-3. In Game 2 of the best-of-seven series played on Sunday, Pardubice struck back, winning by a score of 4-2. Pardubice were arguably lucky to weather the storm in the final period when Liberec were handed several power plays. Overall, the game was a hard-hitting affair. The series, tied at 2, continues on Wednesday. And the other semi-final between Plzeň and the surprise of the playoffs so far, Kometa Brno, who eliminated the regular season winners Sparta Prague, has not yet gotten underway. They play their first two games on Monday and Tuesday. Overseas in the NHL on Sunday, Czechs made their mark And they included Tomáš Fleischmann, who scored once and earned an assist for the Florida Panthers, who tied the New York Islanders in regulation time but lost in the penalty shootout. In other action, the Edmonton Oilers defenseman Ladislav Schmid scored his fifth goal of the season against Columbus. The Oilers won that game by a score of 6-3. The Florida Panthers, at 87 points, have already booked a berth in the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs, but Edmonton is a spot from last in the Western Conference, so no chance there. Turning to football, league leaders Sparta are in hot water after clinching only a single point at the weekend in a derby against fellow Prague club Slavia. As it happened, Slavia led 1-0 with just 16 minutes remaining and threatened to take all 3 points from the match, but Přikryl, luckily for Sparta, evened the score. He's now scored 4 goals in as many games. Still, many consider the damage done. The weekend draw leaves Sparta only a point ahead of second-place Liberec, who won easily against Bohemians by a score of 3-0. Liberec and Sparta will face each other in 2 weeks' time in a match that could decide who will be crowned the season champions. Defending champions, Plzeň, meanwhile, remain in third place, 10 points behind the leaders, but just 2 in front of Mladá Boleslav. Turning to speed skating, skater Martina Sablíková ended the season with a victory in the 5,000 meters on Saturday, earning her second gold at the World Championships in Heerenveen, the Netherlands. Earlier, she clinched the medal in the 3,000 as well. She took the race in 6 minutes, 50 seconds and 46 hundredths of a second, almost 20 seconds faster than her nearest competitor, Olga Grafova of Russia. And that was Sablíková's fastest time of the season. And that's the sport for today. That brings us to our main feature for this day, which is One-on-One, hosted by Sara Borufka.
Sophia Smith, who is half Irish and half Malaysian, has been cooking in Prague since the late 90s. Angel Restaurant, where she was the executive head chef, received much critical acclaim. Its opening was written about by Fodors as the culinary event of the year, and as a freelance chef, Sophia Smith continues to put a smile on the faces of Prague's food lovers. Most recently, she has been hosting themed nights at Prague's James Joyce Irish Pub and teaching cooking classes at the capital's Cucina Rivero cooking studio. I spoke to the chef about what she most enjoys about cooking, how Prague's food culture has changed over the years, and what her early culinary influences were.
I was actually born in Belfast, but my family left when I was quite young, and we spent half and half the time in the UK and also in Kuala Lumpur. So I think my favourite foods has to be from both cultures. You know, the baked goods of Ireland or Britain and the heavy stews and things like that, and also lots and lots of fantastic Asian food.
And you have a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering, systems and networks. That's not exactly a typical start into a cooking career. So maybe you could talk a bit about when you decided to leave your profession to pursue cooking professionally.
A few years ago, when I actually got tired of the IT world and the corporate world, and I've always been interested in cooking. I've always cooked for friends, for parties, even when I was a teenager. So wanting a career change, I thought I'll give it a go. And I started very small in just by sheer luck, sheer serendipity, a chance to actually open a cafe in the British Council, back when the British Council was actually just off Narodny. So that's how I got my start and discovered that I absolutely loved actually not just cooking, but actually being with people, cooking for people, you know. Cooking actually came more naturally to me than actually working in IT, to be perfectly honest.
That's interesting. So I think you arrived in Prague in 1997. Mm-hmm. That was 8 years after the Velvet Revolution. What was your first impression of the city and the country in general?
Everything was very exciting then. And to me, Prague was also very exotic. They were, you know, there was a buzz, there were lots of things happening. You know, we couldn't get certain things, but there is the whole excitement of it, and there was a lot of promise about what's going to happen in the future for Prague. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's an absolutely beautiful city, and it still is a beautiful city.
And when you first came here, was it still palpable that the communists did not really place great importance on good food, and were good restaurants few and far in between, or was the quality of food already much improved?
Back in 1997, there wasn't a lot of choice, I think. And also, it was actually, a lot of it is what was considered Czech food. Back then, when I arrived, I didn't actually realise that what you had in most of the restaurants weren't actually good Czech food, which I've, you know, over the years I've learned. Certainly there's a big difference from when it was back then and now, and there's certainly a lot more choice.
You already mentioned that you opened a cafe here. I think it was called Angel Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And then later you opened Angel Restaurant, where you were the executive head chef, and it was very successful and Fodor's even called it the culinary event of the year when it opened. Did you anticipate this great success, or did that come as a total surprise?
Angel Restaurant wasn't actually my restaurant. I was actually asked to head up this restaurant with that concept. To be honest, we always aimed to do the best that we could at that time. And, you know, I've got really, really high standards. In terms of the success, critical acclaim, I was humbled by it, but all we did, we worked really hard and we gave our best. And I think in life, that will come if you do that.
Working as a chef, of course, entails long hours. It's a very physical and hard job. So maybe you could talk about what makes it worth it? Which moments make it worth all the hard work?
People coming back again, people saying that they have, you know, enjoyed themselves, they have learned something new by trying something different. But essentially, I think for me as a chef, it's about people enjoying themselves and getting pleasure from sharing food, from tasting. I mean, food is a pleasure, isn't it? So that's what I get from it. On top of that, because of the logistics of the kitchen, sometimes when you have a really, really busy service and it goes smoothly, it's like playing sports. You know, you get the rush and the adrenaline exactly like playing sports. But my biggest reward is actually just everybody having a good time, and that includes the people working in the kitchen, in the restaurant, and the guests.
So could you tell us a bit about your own business now, Angel Food?
I'm actually work as a freelance chef and as Sophia Smith, Angel Food. For some reason, the name Angel has stuck with me right from the very beginning. So I think people associate me with Angel Food. But at the moment, I freelance as Sophia Smith, and I do cookery classes, I do events, I do restaurant consultancy, and whatever other project that comes out that's to do with food.
Could you maybe describe some specific projects that you have worked on that you really enjoyed or that you're planning to do in the near future?
I do really fun events at the James Joyce Irish Pub, and we do theme nights, anything from Goa to Southeast Asia. We even did a chili competition, and I absolutely love working there because it's good fun. You know, I'm half Irish, so anything in an Irish pub is great. And with music, and that's been fantastic. I'm also a guest chef at Cucina Rivero, which is a small, beautiful cookery studio on Sukhanitska Street, and I run several courses there. And along with Emmanuel Rivero, I also do a private dining or supper club. We're trying to get that off the ground. The idea is actually to set up events based around food and drink. And we inform just a small selection of people. And the seating is limited, and they come and, you know, you wine and you dine and you mingle. It's a new concept in dining here, I think. It doesn't really exist, but it's huge now all over the UK, you know, and I think even big in Argentina. in the States, this sort of supper club concept.
What is it like to work freelance as opposed to, you know, having the same kitchen you go to every day? Is that a much more, I'd imagine it's much more diverse and exciting in many ways?
You got it right. Yeah, it's very exciting freelancing. I'm never, ever bored, but I'm always constantly working. Whereas if you've actually got a stable job in a restaurant, the hours are long, it's hard, but you turn up, you do your thing, and then at the end of the day, you go home and then you repeat it. So working in a restaurant gives you, I suppose, a bit of stability as opposed to freelancing. But, you know, there's a trade-off always. But for sure, freelancing, I'm never, never, ever bored. There's always something exciting. And you also have to be very creative when you're freelancing, thinking of different ideas and different projects, which is fun.
It sounds very fun. I also believe that one of the restaurants where you were or are a guest chef is Sancho, which has received a lot of critical acclaim. Have you actually developed any items on the menu, or what was your role in Sancho?
I was part of the opening team of Sancho. Sancho is a great restaurant. I hear it's doing really, really well. And Sancho brought a different style of dining to Prague, which is much needed. But I was just part of the opening team. I helped develop the dessert menu, the bread in the beginning, and, you know, worked the line in the beginning.
Are you the person behind the incredible pudding at Sancho?
Oh, that sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah, that sticky toffee pudding.
Yes, but I have to say, I mean, I'm actually amazed about this whole sticky toffee pudding thing, which actually we even did at Angel. I've done it for years, but it's taken off. And to be honest, it's actually a very traditional English pudding. My recipe is really, really basic, but I know it's incredibly sexy dessert. So I can't take full credit because it's not an original recipe. It's not my creation as such, even though I've tweaked it to make it mine. But yes, do you want the recipe?
I would definitely, even though it might lead down a very hazardous slope. My last question for you would be, what are some of your favorite places to go and eat in this city, to go and buy food in this city? And how do you feel, at what level is Prague right now culinarily?
Okay, my favorite place to go to is actually Café de Paris in Malastrana on Mateuske Namisti. Simple concept. It's really relaxed. The people there are really, really nice. I like the noodle bar, one of the first noodle bars here, and the guys there actually make everything from scratch themselves. So, and they're brilliant. I love Hanabi on Mateuske Namisti as well, for sort of Japanese dishes. Not just the sushi, but the other dishes they do. So I think those are my three favourite places, and somebody's going to tell me off for not remembering other places. Because you remember that I cook with a lot of exotic ingredients, so when I chill out, I actually like my food quite simple. Prague has changed over the years, and I really love the fact now that there are a lot of farmers markets. I go to Holešovice, it's the market every week. That's where I get my potatoes and, you know, anything locally produced. Eggs, butter, I get from Holešovice market because I live quite close by. And I've got my vegetable man there, but it's the farmer's market is going to do it, and local produce is going to do it. That's going to make a difference here. And people eating better and having more of a feel for food.
That was Chef Sophia Smith ending that edition of One on One with Sara Borufka. Just a quick reminder, you'll find more news and programs at our website, radio.cz, so be sure to look us up on the internet. You'll find all our stories in both sound and text. Speaking of text, it's now time to continue our long-running language series, now in reruns actually, the ABC of Czech, hosted by Pavla Horáková and Vladimir Tax.
Welcome Welcome again to Radio Prague's Czech language series, Exploring Wildlife Idioms. Just like in the last few episodes, we'll start off with the sound of the animal of the day. Don't worry, there's nothing wrong with your radio. It's just that today's animal is the fish, which, as everybody knows, is mute.
Mlčet jako ryba.
To keep silent like a fish. To be mute as a fish. Interestingly, fish in the Czech language are also said to be healthy.
Zdraví jako ryba.
Healthy as a fish. Water is the fish's natural environment, and about people who are in their element, feeling good, Czechs say
je jako ryba ve vodě.
He or she is like a fish in water. On the contrary, when you find yourself in an unfamiliar situation or ill at ease, you can describe it by the idiom
ryba na suchu.
Literally, a fish out in the dry, or a fish out of water. The Czech language too knows the concept of big fish and little fish, meaning important or unimportant people and things. Modest as they are, Czechs coined an expression to describe small gains or achievements.
Malí ryby, taky ryby.
Or little fish, but still fish. So even small successes are of some value. If something or somebody is neither one thing nor another, their identity is vague, English speakers say the person or the thing is neither fish nor fowl. The Czech expression is
ani ryba, ani rak.
Neither fish nor crayfish. Cold and unemotional people, in English known as cold fish, are described as dead fish in Czech.
Leklá ryba.
Staying with dead fish, the Czech language has a saying
ryba smrdí od hlavy.
A fish starts smelling from the head, which means, for example, that in an unsuccessful company, one should take a good look at the boss. And finally, still on the topic of stinking fish, there is one rather impolite saying which might make you think that Czechs are not exactly the kindest of hosts. The expression goes
ryba i host třetí den smrdí,
meaning both a fish and a guest start stinking on the third day. And we'd better not linger for too long, lest something like that should happen to us. So, until next time.
Naschledanou. That was the ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax. And once again, if you'd like to hear that lesson again or study up on your Czech, be sure to look up that language series at our website, radio.cz. I'm afraid we're just about out of time for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.